Good morning, and welcome to another one of our Wednesday morning Bible studies. I must confess that I have looked forward to doing this one since last week when I began to put the notes together, and even going over them again this morning before I recorded, I got excited. So I'm looking forward to today and looking forward to how it's going to bless you as we walk together in covenant authority and we work to understand the authority, not only the authority we have, but today we're going to see the love and how covenant love, how his hesed really impacts us as we introduced that last week. Let me pray first before we get going. Father, I thank you today that you promise us as we hear your word that faith will come. So we open our hearts to you right now, Holy Spirit, and we say you do your work in us as the teacher. Father, I thank you that I'll hear your voice only, and the voice of another I won't even acknowledge. So today your word goes forth for your glory and for your honor and to build us up as the church that you desire us to be. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Now let me just remind you, as many of you have requested, we changed several weeks ago so you can now share these videos. And so if you've got someone that you believe that would benefit from it, please feel free to share with it. Also, we had a couple of comments last week that we got some feedback outside of Facebook that it really blessed some people. So let me encourage you, if something really speaks to you or moves your heart, don't hesitate to put a note in there. And if you want to wait till the end, do it. But just be aware that what you say oftentimes has an impact on others. So with that, I want to review what we talked about last week. We talked about cutting covenant with God. We've opened every week looking at Luke, seeing that the centurion who was under authority executed authority because he thought the right way about it. He understood it. And then we've begun to study covenant, looking at what covenant means, recognizing that this is the primary way that the Lord has chosen to communicate and to firm up what he says with his people. And we looked at covenant last week, looking at several scriptures in Genesis pertaining to Noah in 6, 8, and 9. And we saw that the Lord cut a covenant with him. And then it said while they were in the boat, he did what? He remembered the covenant with him. And then once they got out of the boat in Genesis 9, he blessed him as part of the covenant meal. So we see covenant in every aspect of what the Lord does and how he dealt with Noah. We looked at Genesis 15 concerning Abram. And the Lord had made some promises to Abram. And what did Abram do? He said, well, Lord, how can this, and he was asking questions, how's all this going to come about? These lands are occupied by others. And the Lord just didn't speak to him. He said, prepare a covenant. Prepare the animals for a covenant sacrifice. And then what did he do? He removed Abram from that. Now, we talked last week about he removed the weakest link. But I just want to remind us today, what that means for you and I is that it means we can't mess it up either. He did the same thing with Jesus. He put Jesus in our stead. It was his blood of the new covenant. And so this is not about us messing up. And you're going to see that again so clearly this morning as we go through some scriptures. So when he told him to make a covenant, in verse 18, literally he says, I'm going to make a covenant, or he made a covenant with him. And what that literally means is he cut a cutting until blood flowed. And that's what the word made literally means, is to cut. And the word bereath, which is now the word for covenant, means to cut until blood flows. So what do we see in that? The act of cutting covenant by the cutting of and shedding of blood has become the actual term that's used for covenant. We also looked at Genesis 22 last week at Abraham at this point, and how the Lord instructed him to go and sacrifice. And we know that sacrifice is often part of a covenant. But he told him to sacrifice his only son. We saw so many comparisons between Isaac and Jesus. And to think that Isaac was complicit in this, that he understood what was going on, still just, it creates chills on me. It's just so, it encourages me that if Isaac can do that under the old covenant, how much more should we, under this new covenant, be absolutely fearless when we know the covenant promises that we had? And what did we see? That this really opened up the opportunity for the Lord to bring Jesus into the earth. And we would ask the question, why would the Father do this? And it's because of his great love for his men. Why would Isaac do it? Why would Jesus submit it as Isaac did? Because he loved his Father so much. And for Jesus, he loved you and I. What did it say? For the glory that was set before him? He saw you and I as he went through all these things for us that we've just recently celebrated as we noted his crucifixion, but most importantly, his resurrection. So this great love, we looked at a scripture last week in Jeremiah 31:3, where the Lord says, I've loved you with an everlasting love, but I've drawn you with my covenant love, my mercy. And that is the word for chesed, or hesed would be a better way to say it. I called it chesed for years, but as I've learned more, I think it's really hesed. And so you may hear me say either one, but you understand what I mean. And this word can best be translated, I believe, covenant love, which implies all that that covenant brings to us. And that's what we're really going to focus on today. But I want you to understand, too, that it is this covenant love that brought you and I into the covenant. We saw in Ephesians 2 that we were strangers to the covenants of promise, aliens. But we've been brought in now by his covenant love, by the shed blood of Jesus, into this covenant. And so as we began, wrapped up last week, we just kind of introduced this word, and it's spelled in the Hebrew, in the English letters, C-H-E-S-E-D. And we asked, why is it so important? And it's because I don't believe we can fully recognize all we have in covenant until we understand this word. In fact, we're going to see today that you really can't separate covenant from this covenant love. The two are just inextricably tied together. We looked at Psalm 107 verse 43 last week, which says, who is wise? And I would hope you would say, I am. I have the mind of Christ. My mind is being renewed in his word day to day. And it goes on and says, let him give heed to these things and diligently consider the hesed, the loving kindnesses of the Lord. Now, you notice I said loving kindnesses. It's plural there. That means there's a breadth to that loving kindness, and that's what you're going to begin to see today. One word just doesn't describe it. So today, I want us to talk about covenant love, his hesed. I believe that the key to his keeping covenant and even making covenant with us is due to this covenant love. Everything goes back to his love. In fact, we saw last week that one scholar says hesed can really be a synonym and used in place of covenant. It's used, as we saw last week, about 247 times in the Old Testament. And let me just read you a list of the different things that we see that word, and this is not exhaustive, but different things that we see this word being used for. Strong's Concordance says it literally means kindness. And we see it translated mercy, merciful. We see it translated kind or kindness, loving kindness, steadfast love, unfailing or unchanging love, covenant love, goodness, loyalty, deeds of devotion. And we're going to look at some scriptures today in the Complete Jewish Bible where it is translated grace. And I think that's important to us because all too often we think of we're under the new covenant, and we don't have to pursue a lot of things in the old covenant, but I think this is going to take us a different level once we understand this word hesed and how it impacts our covenant and how it's going to impact our faith in believing in the goodness of the covenant. One Jewish scholar wrote this. He describes it as a loving obligation resulting from a covenantal tie. Now, I like that. Because contracts today have no love in them. It's about what I get and what you get. And that's it. But this brings the very character, the very nature of God into this as we talk about the love that he has for you and I. One organization that is devoted to studying chesed or Hesed wrote it this way, described it this way. The consistent, ever faithful, relentless, constantly pursuing, lavish, extravagant, unrestrained, furious love of our Father God. And they characterize that at the end by saying it is the defining characteristic of God to the Hebrew people. Well, I can't stop at just the Hebrew people. I would say it's the defining characteristic of God to His covenant people. And that means you and I are included in this Hesed that He has for His covenant people. We closed last week by me reading a description that I wrote up. I did it just to help me, but I've decided to use it in these teachings. That I tried to put it in more New Covenant terms so that I could relate to it better. So let me read that to you again. It's the Father's, along with Jesus and the Holy Spirit, because they're one and the same. It's the Father's nature of being first ever faithful, with a limitless love that just gives and gives and gives. And all that is reflecting His very nature towards you and I. Keeping me from what I deserve, which is His mercy, which is what it's most often translated as in the Old Testament, but giving me way above and beyond what I don't deserve. And what is that? That's what we think of as grace, mostly in the New Testament. And let me just say, I believe that's one reason that Paul got the revelation of grace from the Lord is because he understood Hesed so well from his being such a good, strict Jew in that term. He understood this word in its fullness. It's also a constant pursuit of showing and allowing me and you to partake of His goodness. And most of all, it's an unlimited ability that He has to deliver on His covenant promises. We started this with faithful, and we ended it with Him being faithful, Him having the power to do it. Now, we talked last week about a term that I want to bring back up today. We talked about the term covenant friend. Now, I've already told you that Hesed is not well understood in a lot of the circles we run in today. Covenant is not well understood. And I think the same can be said for friend. Oh yeah, so-and-so, he's my friend. And what we're really saying is, I know him. He's my acquaintance. But I want you to look at some scriptures. Go with me to Luke, the 22nd chapter. And I want you to begin to see the importance of this term and of you and I being a covenant friend. In Luke 22, we're going to start in verse 14, and we've read this together in recent weeks, but we'll do it one more time, looking at it just a little differently. And when the hour had come, talking about after they had prepared Passover, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired. Can you hear his voice? Because He knows what's about to happen, and yet He's saying, I desire it. Why? Because He knows that they, and now we, are going to be so much the better off after this takes place. So I've earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Now, who is with Him? All of the 12 disciples. Verse 17, so he had taken a cup and given thanks, and he said, take and share it amongst yourselves. Now, we talked earlier that this is not the Messiah's cup. So disciples would have reacted as they would in a normal Passover. And then he says, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. Verse 19, and when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Now, Jesus is beginning to take the Passover meal and transform it, not into just what we would call communion today. We celebrate this event, but he's transforming it into a covenant meal. And I want you to begin to see that because he's talking about offering himself as this sacrifice. And he really firms it up in verse 20, as he says, and in the same way he took the cup of the Messiah, after they had eaten, saying, this cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood. So we see here that he is putting himself as the sacrifice and saying, this is a covenant meal. We talked about that a little bit last week. But I want you today to look at verse 21 and the first part of 22. All 12 disciples are with him. And he says, but behold, the hand of the one betraying me is with me on the table. For indeed, the Son of Man is going as it has been determined. And what does he talk about? That he's going to the cross. But what I want you to see is he cut covenant not only with the 11, but with Judas. Judas was involved in this covenant cutting with them. Now, why is this important? Because he has just cut a covenant of strong friendship. He's had the covenant meal, and we said normally this is near the end of the covenant cutting process. So now let's go to John, because I want to look at both the fact that Judas was here with this, but also see that we're included. And in John, we're going to chapter 15, and we're going to look at three verses, starting in 13. Jesus says in his last words, some of his last words to his disciple, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. Now think of this in terms of covenant friend, because we're now included in that if we believe and accept the work of the blood. He says, then, you are my friends. So I believe he's not just saying, hi, friend. He's saying, you are my covenant friends, because we've shared this covenant meal together. And then he tells them to do what he commands them, which we should do out of love. And then verse 15 says, No longer do I call you slave, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I've heard from my Father, I have made known to you. So I want you to see that when he's talking to his disciples about becoming covenant friend, he's also talking to you and I. Now, covenant friend all goes back, I believe, to the word hesed, because now we're able to be part of, as his covenant friend, one that sticks closer than a brother, as Proverbs tells us. And so we're in a position to receive all that hesed provides us. Now, I also want you to get a glimpse of how strong his commitment to this is. Go to Matthew, and we're going to look at the 26th chapter, and we're going to look at just one verse, verse 50. So they've left the garden, or they're in the garden about to leave, but Jesus certainly knows what happens. And as Judas approaches Jesus and kisses him, look at verse 50, what Jesus said to him. Jesus says to him, he didn't call him Judas, did he? He called him friend. Might I suggest he's calling him covenant friend? Well, why would he do that when he knows what he's about to do? That's how strong his commitment to covenant and to covenant friendship is. Even though he knows what Judas is doing, he's not going to break that covenant with him. He includes him as a covenant friend. Man, that ought to speak to you. We can't mess up this covenant. We cannot mess this covenant up. Friend, do what you have come for. And then you know, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of that story. So what I want you to see here is that Judas is the one who walked away from this covenant, not Jesus. He could have, but that's his strength to this covenant. And it's equally as strong, if not stronger today, for you and I. So we see in this just Jesus' commitment, his strength, his faithfulness to this act of covenant that he shared with his disciples. And now we too are included in that. So for a few minutes, I want to take some time and begin to look at scriptures pertaining to covenant and hesed and see what we can learn. So let's go to 2 Chronicles, the 4th chapter. the sixth chapter. 2 Chronicles, the sixth chapter. And we're just going to look at one verse here, verse 14. Now Solomon has dedicated the temple and he's about to enter into a prayer. He's kneeling down on an altar that he's made, or a platform. In verse 14, look at how he starts. And he, Solomon, said, O Lord God of Israel, that would be like you and I saying, Our Father, or My Jesus. There is no God like you in heaven or on earth, keeping covenant and showing loving kindness to thy servants who walk before thee with all their heart. Now I want to look at three words here. The first one is keeping. That word is shamar. It's the word that is used in Genesis when the Lord tells Adam to keep the garden. It literally means to guard, to keep, to give heed to treasure and protect. So I might just say it this way. Protecting covenant. Treasuring covenant. Those are the Lord's commitments, His feelings, His emotions, His nature toward the covenant that He's making. Covenant there is the word bereath. And then it says, and showing loving kindness. This is the word hesed. This is that covenant love that we've been talking about. But I want you to just understand that showing there was added by the translators because it literally says keeping, covenant, and hesed. So I want you to see that He guards His love for you. He protects you with His love. That is just so powerful to me. The Young's Literal Translation says He's keeping the covenant and the kindness for His servants. Now notice, He's keeping the covenant and assignment for His servants. Jesus is keeping the covenant now for who? For us, His covenant friends. The New Living says, you keep your covenant and show unfailing love who walk before you. But I included the Complete Jewish into my notes for today because it says you keep covenant, again, with your servants. That's their perspective. That's all they knew at that time. And you show them grace. So here's this New Testament concept brought into here. His character, His desire to give us what we don't deserve. Now I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 54. I really could have included this last week in what we talked about, but I elected not to. I want to look and read you verse 10. For the mountains may be removed and the hills may shake, but my hesed, my loving kindness, King James says kindness, I believe, my hesed will not be removed from you, and my covenant of peace will not be shaken, says the Lord who has compassion on you. Now this verse is very meaningful to me. At our last home in Tennessee, when I would walk in the subdivision, we had a perfect mile path that I could walk up and down the streets. But as I would head back to my house, making these two loops, I could see a range of mountains off in the distance. And one day as I was walking, this verse was quickened to me. And I began to say from that point on, every time I walked over that, twice a day normally, Lord, these mountains I'm looking at can go away. The hills that are just before them, they may move, be shaken. But your hesed for me is never going away. And my covenant of peace is firmly established and it's going nowhere. That's the view that I want you to begin to see and develop concerning His commitment to us. His faithfulness to us in His covenant. Now, I want you to look at verses 7 through 10, 7 through 9. We'll read 10 again. That's just before it. Now, remember, Isaiah's talking to the people who have been in exile. So, verse 7, he says, for a brief moment I forsook you. I'm sure they felt forsaken when they went into exile. But I want to say to you, and let's bring ourselves back to the disciples. because that's who Jesus was talking to, who he was addressing when he was talking not only to them, but you and I. Do you feel like there was a time, for a brief time, for a brief moment, when they felt forsaken? I do. The 3 days between when Jesus says it is finished and when they learned of his resurrection. And then he goes on and says, there was a brief moment when I forsook you, but with great compassion I'm going to gather you. In an outburst of anger, and that literally means a little wrath, I hid my face for you for a moment. But look at what he says. But with everlasting hesed, everlasting loving kindness, I have compassion on you, says the Lord, our, and I'm going to change that, our Redeemer. And then verse 9, and I've read this verse to you a lot, and I know some people still struggle with it because when they sin, they feel like the Lord's angry with them. But now you're looking at this verse, not just by itself, but from a covenant perspective. For this is like the days of Noah to me, when I swore that the waters of Noah should not flood the earth again. So I have sworn that I will not be angry with you, nor will I rebuke you. So I want you to see, when we've been reading this verse before, it's talking about his covenant hesed towards you. And this is what it produces. And then we see verse 10. For the mountains may be removed and the hills may shake, but my hesed will not be removed from you, and my bereath, or my covenant of peace, will not be shaken, says the Lord who has compassion on you. Now look down at verse 14. If I were to ask you what is one of the most important things we need to know today concerning New Testament in our position, is that we've been made righteous. So he's tying our righteousness in to covenant. Look what he says. In righteousness you will be established, for you will not fear. So I want you to see, your righteousness is a result of his covenant commitment to you. Now let me encourage you who have children or grandchildren who you may have some concerns about. Look at verse 13. Right here in the middle of this discussion between covenant, hesed, and righteousness, he puts a promise for us. And all of our sons will be taught of the Lord, and the well-being of our sons will be great. So we've got a promise right in the middle of this, a covenant promise for it. Now, please note, if you think back to last week when we talked about we need to think correctly, we need to have our ways or our actions correctly. And what did we see? In line with covenant thinking. So here 54 leads where? Right into 55, which is where we saw all those promises that we said were based on his covenant and the sure mercies of David. Now, one other point before I leave. He talks about a covenant of peace. I like to think of peace as nothing missing and nothing broken. That's how complete your covenant is. Everything we need, and we said this last week, all we receive from Jesus, all of his goodness, all of his kindness, all that he provides through his love, comes through this covenant where there's nothing missing in it. Now go to Deuteronomy 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. And we're going to look at verse 9, and then we're going to read a couple more. Verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God. And think about now in this, all of these words that we're using here, all these adjectives that describe him. The faithful God who keeps his covenant, same words that we saw before, and his hesed, his loving kindness, to 1,000 generations. I think King James says mercy there. And then go down to verse 12. And he says again, then it shall come about, because you listen to the judgments and do and keep, or keep and do them. Now, for you and I, it's a little different, because they had to stay in line with the covenant. But who did that for us? Jesus did. We just receive it by faith as we're acting. If we miss it, we have forgiveness and we just step right back into it. So thank you, Jesus, for listening to his judgments and keeping them and doing them. And we know that the Lord your God will keep with you. Now, see the personal part of this. He's going to keep with you his covenant, his hesed, which he swore to your forefathers. And I just want to read a couple of lines out of these next three verses. He will love you and bless you and multiply you, and he will also bless the fruit of your womb. There's another promise we have about those, our children who are coming after us and our grandchildren. And he says he'll bless the fruit of our ground, grain, new wine, and it goes on. And then look down at verse 14. And I've talked to you about this verse before and how I used to stand at the front during a tough time, which we're in today, a financial for a lot of people. And I would say, because of the covenant, I am blessed above all peoples. But now I've begun to say, because of his hesed, where I can't separate those two, I am blessed above all peoples. And you need to say that too. So let's say it together. We are blessed above all peoples. We are blessed above all peoples because of his hesed and his keeping covenant with me. And then verse 15, and the Lord will remove from you all sickness, and he shall not put on you any of the harmful diseases of Egypt which you've known. So we have a healing promise in covenant. And in fact, I'm going to be teaching healing school this week, and we're going to talk about healing and my covenant of healing. So you may hear a lot of this again, but I'm going to encourage you. Don't think I've already got it. Every time I've studied for today, I've seen something new in these verses. I want you to go now to Psalm 25. Psalm 25. Psalms, the Psalms is full of verses concerning covenant and hesed. In fact, we will probably start one with one next week, very close to this one. So in Psalm 25, verses 4 through 10. And I want you to see how this psalm parallels what we learned last week. Make me know thy ways, O Lord. So there's his ways. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. So he's talking about what we think, how we think. For thou art the God of my salvation. For thee I wait all day. Remember, O Lord, thy compassion and thy loving kindness, thy hesed, for they have been from old. And do not remember the sins of my youth or transgressions. We know ours have been blotted out. The end of verse 7, and according to thy loving kindness, thy hesed, remember thou me. So he remembers his covenant concerning you, not starting with his covenant, but starting with his love for you, that covenant love for you. For thy goodness' sake, O Lord. So there's another adjective that describes him. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in justice, and he teaches the humble. And that word can also be translated afflicted. So if you're going through some things today, see this for you right now, because we just talked about healing, and that's healing physically and mentally as well. So he teaches the humble his way, or the afflicted his way. In verse 10, here's where you want to get to. All the paths of the Lord are loving kindness, hesed, and truth to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. Now, how do we keep his covenant? By faith, not by being perfect. Jesus did that so that we don't have to. The complete Jewish Bible in this account brings up twice the word grace. It starts out, remember your compassion and grace. And it actually concludes in verse 10 by saying, all Adonai's paths are grace and truth to those who keep covenant. So everything that we're reading here, we can apply equally to our New Testament of grace. Now go with me to Psalms 106. Psalms 106, and we're going to look at verse 43. At verse 43. Many times he would deliver them. They, however, were rebellious in their counsel, and so they sank down in their iniquity. Why did this happen over and over? Because they forgot his covenant deeds. They did not remember his covenant love for them. Verse 44, nevertheless, he looked upon their distress when he heard their cry. And they may have forgotten, but this ought to encourage you and I. And he remembered his covenant for their sake and relented according to the greatness of his hesed. Do you see the strength of this covenant? Even when we miss it, he's forgiving. He's working with us. Now, I've got one more that I want to cover with you too in Psalm 89 in this vein of covenant and mercy and how they fit together. So in Psalm 89, we're going to look at the first verse. Psalm 89, verse 1. I will sing or proclaim or worship with concerning what? The hesed of the Lord forever. To all generations I will make known your faithfulness with my mouth. I just wanted to set the tone of celebration for you and I with this verse. And now I want to skip down to verse 28. Verse 28 says, my loving kindness. And here we're seeing again the same word. Mercy's King James. My hesed will I keep for him forever, and my covenant shall be confirmed to him. And then we'll just stop with that one right now. So what we're seeing again is covenant and hesed all tied together. You cannot separate it. And it's over and over in Scripture. Now look down at verse 33. 33 says, but I will not break off my loving kindness from him. Now, why would he write that? Because Old Testament, when they sinned, he had to pull back, because that's how the Mosaic covenant was. It was the law. They had to keep it, all parts of it. But that's not the way he wanted it. And that's what I want you to see. These things that these judgments that he had to judge them with were not, that's not his nature. Now, he is a just God and justice will be satisfied, but he wanted to treat his people as if they'd never sinned. So he says, I will not break off my hesed from him, nor deal falsely in my faithfulness. Now, this is talking about David. David's covenant to have people after him of his own kind sitting on the throne forever. And then he says, my covenant in 34, I will not violate, nor will I alter the utterance of my lips. New Living, I like for this one, says, but I will never stop loving him, nor fail to keep my promise to him. No, I will not break my covenant. I will not take back a single word that I have said. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, if you look at, and I'm not going to take the time to read them, but if you look at 29 through 32, he's reiterating the promise that I'm going to set his posterity on the throne forever. But then he talks about then if the people don't do what they're supposed to do, then he'll have to visit transgression on them. And then it goes right back into 33 that we read him. But he says, I'm still not going to break my hesed, and I'm not going to break my covenant that I made with David just because of what they did. I'm going to put Jesus, is what he's saying, on the throne forever. Now, verse 35, let's look at it. Once I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David. You can write your name in there. I will not lie to Lynn. I will not lie to Jessica. You can put your own name there. The Father's promised you. His descendants shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. Now you say, well, that's not really talking about me. Yes, it is. Where are you today? In Christ Jesus, in him, seated, and his throne as the sun before me, seated with him on the throne. That's where you are. So he is including you in this. It shall be established forever like the moon and the witness in the sky that is faithful. What he's saying to us is, if I'm going to give Jesus, then you're getting Jesus. But what do we also know we get with his hesed? All of his other goodness. What is it? Romans 8:32, I believe, says. I think that may be in your notes even. That if he's given us Jesus, do you think he's going to withhold everything else from us when he's already given us the most precious things he's got? That's a covenant promise. We need to see Romans 8:32, what I just kind of quoted in parts, as a covenant hased to you. His goodness, His kindness, His compassion. Now I want you to go back to the second and third verses of Psalm 89. Let me just read them to you. He starts with this, and we've seen this is how it ends. He said, it's going on forever. For I have said, loving kindness will be built up forever in the heavens, and you will establish your faithfulness. I have made a covenant, he's quoting the Lord, with my chosen. I have sworn to David, my servant, I will establish your seed forever. Now, I believe since we're in Jesus, we can also take this again. We're talking a lot about our children and grandchildren, those coming after us today. And build up your throne to all generations. And then in verse 5 and 8, he brings up the subject again of faithfulness. Do you see that his faithfulness is because of this covenant love? Saints, what we're saying today is that the core of his covenant is hesed. It is based on that. That's why he sought covenant with us. That's why he keeps covenant. And that's why his covenant blesses us today. You cannot separate covenant and hesed. The two are just tied together so very tightly. Now, let me just explain a little more about why I'm saying this. What does 1 John 4, verse 8 tell us? It doesn't say God has love. It says what? God is love. So I might could say then, without stretching it at all, God is hesed. That is his very nature. You can't separate his love, his kindness, and all those other attributes. So all those are part of him. So God is hesed. Now, why is that important? Look at Psalm 103. I really want to be able to get to the end of this with you today because it just gets better and better. Psalm 103, let's read verse 8 first. This starts off and says, the Lord is. It doesn't say the Lord has. So it's in sync, if I can use that way of thinking about it, with 1 John 4:8. He doesn't just have compassion. He is compassion. The Lord is compassionate and gracious. He's slow to anger, and he's abounding in hesed. Abounding in it for your sake. Now, look back at verse, and let's just go all the way back to 3. No, let's go back to 2. And we'll just read all of these down through 2 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefit. Covenant promises, covenant kindnesses he wants to give to you, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you. Let me stop there. Do you remember that the word corona for this coronavirus literally means a crown, a circle, and it refers to a crown? The devil has tried to put his crowning, his best shot forward at you. And I want you to look at what this word says, and this ought to give you shouting ground. Who redeems your life from the pit and who crowns, who coronas you with hesed and compassion. I'm just looking out now at this camera and I'm just seeing everyone with a smile on their face. Corona can't touch you because his hesed has already crowned you. His hesed and his compassion. And then verse 5 said, he satisfies our years with good things, so that our youth is renewed like the eagle. Now, he doesn't quit there. Look down in verse 11. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. So great is his hesed toward those who fear him. And then verse 17, one more. But the hesed of the Lord is from Olam. Remember that from last week? O-W-L-A-M is how it's spelled, and we just pronounce O-L-A-M. And that means everlasting. His hesed is Olam to Olam. No beginning, no end. To you and I who hold him in reverence and awe. We also see this in the book of Nehemiah. In the book of Nehemiah, the 9th chapter, we're going to look at two verses starting in 16. Nehemiah 9:16. But they, our fathers, acted arrogantly. They became stubborn and would not listen to thy commandments. In other words, they forgot the covenant. And they refused to listen, verse 17 says, and did not remember the wondrous deeds which had been performed among them, his covenant promises, what he said he would do to them. They just forgot them. And that's why it's so important. For if things are not going well for us and we're getting down to where we're feeling sorry for ourselves, go back and recall his covenant goodness to you. Stir this hesed back up. This says, so they became stubborn and appointed a leader to return to their slavery in Egypt. But God, but thou art a God of forgiveness, gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, abounding. That really means overflowing with hesed. And then it says, and you did not forsake them. Promise after promise of his covenant and his hesed right there with us. Go with me now to the book of Exodus. And I want to look at some verses that we've looked at here in recent weeks, but I want to revisit just a couple of them. And I want you to see here that this is how God is revealing himself. This is when Moses had asked, show me more of your glory, in verse 18. And I want you to look what the Lord said. Now, I'm going to tell you that this is just so key. And he said, none of the words that I'm about to use in Exodus are related to or of the word hesed. Hesed is not used in this verse, but you're going to see it tied right back to it very quickly. So you can take, and I'll go ahead and tell you this, all of these adjectives about him and make this part of your definition of hesed. I will myself make all of my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I'll be gracious, to whom I'll be gracious, and I will show compassion. So there's goodness and grace and compassion that he's saying is going to pass before Moses. Now look down at verse 34, 6 and 7. Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God. This is God describing himself. Compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in hesed. Now King James there says goodness. So we see a tie right back. Abounding in hesed and truth. Verse 7. Who keeps, King James says, mercy here. I'm going to say loving kindness again. Really, I'm going to say hesed. Who keeps hesed for thousands. Who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. And let's just stop there. Do you see? It's his very nature coming out. This is how he describes himself. Full of hesed, ever keeping covenant. So if it looks bad, things look bad, how do we draw our hope? What do we look to? The book of Lamentations, right after Jeremiah, the 3rd chapter and the 21st verse. This I recall to mind. Again, Lamentations 3:21. This I recall to mind. So he's remembering what he's about to say. And look what it gives him. Therefore, I have hope. You must see that relationship. The Lord's hesed, verse 22, indeed never cease. The Lord's loving kindnesses, plural, never ceases. For his compassions never fail, and they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Now, I've said to you before, don't think in the middle of a night when things are tormenting you that you've got to wait for the morning before mercies come. His mercies come when it dawns upon you what you have in your covenant relationship, in your covenant hesed with him. So how about they don't just look bad, we blow it. I mean, we just totally blow it. Well, go back to Psalm 51. You remember when David blew it with Bathsheba? Look at how David starts this prayer. And this is why I said before, the Lord truly could talk about covenant with him because he was quick to repent when he missed it. The Lord showed him those sure mercies, those covenant mercies, really before his time. He brought him to life just by his faith in him. Be gracious to me, O Lord. Have hesed. Isn't that what we just saw, how the Lord described himself? According to your hesed, your loving kindness. According to the greatness of thy compassion, blot out my transgression. You see how David, when he blew it, just went where? Right back to his covenant. Right back to the hesed, to the hesed of the Lord. That's where he turned, and that's what we can do. Just call on that covenant mercy when you miss it. When you blow it, look to heavens and just declare, you've sworn hesed to me in your covenant. I'm just going to turn and walk away from it and walk towards you. The very basis of our trust, our confidence, our faith lies in his covenant with you and I, or his covenant with Jesus, and we are included in that covenant, in his hesed, as joint heirs with Jesus. Now, as I close, I want to just give you a tease of what we're going to talk about next week. Look at Psalm 88. And I think most everyone would agree that this is concerning Jesus and some of the things he went through in this covenant sacrifice that he was. So here's Jesus. And this psalm, I believe, is prophetic about what he was feeling. And I want you to see how it reads, starting with verse 10. Two verses, just 10 and 11. Will you perform wonders for the dead? That's what Jesus was at this time. In hell, physically, spiritually dead. Will the departed spirits rise and praise thee? Now, he's already including others who are down there with him in this. Verse 11. Will thy loving kindness, will your hesed be declared in the grave, thy faithfulness in Abaddon. Do you see right here prophetically the word Jesus calling upon the what? The hesed of the Lord. And I believe with all my heart that this is where the power of the Holy Spirit rose up to raise him from the dead. You're going to see next week in our covenant relationship, in this hesed, that when we call upon hesed today, his power is going to go to work for you. Don't miss next week. Look forward to it. You guys have a great week, and we'll see you again next Wednesday.